Just remain standing, if you will, and turn in your Bible, Hebrews chapter number 10, again, where we were this morning. We'll be looking again for a few minutes this evening. Appreciate that song, and it goes right along with really what we're preaching about, this thing of patience, but confidence in the Lord, confidence in the promises, confidence in the Word of God. Amen. And we can have that. If you've got confidence, I believe you can stand. You can have some patience. Amen. I'm going to zero in on verse number 36 this morning. We started with verse 32, read down through the chapter, and did a verse-by-verse overlook, overview of these verses. Tonight it's going to be more topical, so I'm going to deal with verse number 36 and then take off from there. And we'll look at several places in the Scripture. If you'll stay with us, hopefully it'll be helpful to you. All right, you're there. Hebrews 10 and verse number 36. The Bible says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're thankful tonight, Lord, for the solid rock that you put.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Look it up again that we might be justified. Thank you so much for the privilege of time to be in God's house tonight and family here with us and family of preachers and church family. I pray you'll bless the man of God tonight and preaches to us.
Yep, Lord.
Where our hearts will be turned to thee in a definite way and instead of sinning on Christ.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for revival in the hearts and minds of your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. This morning I began with the context of our study, that with the context of the Scriptures that we took this verse from. And so now I'm going to use it, and it's not lifting it from the context, but really just expounding particularly on this verse. And today my thought is things which commend our subject. Still preaching on the need of patience in the life of a Christian, or the need of patience in the Christian life. Actually, I have it titled in my notes. And in thinking about that, our subject, I said this morning, I believe it's universal. Every saint of God is included in verse number 36. Not just the Hebrew Christians, not just the early Christians, American Christians in 2017 are included in this verse. Ye have need of patience. Amen. If you think you've got all the patience you need, just ask your wife or your husband, or your children, or your parents, whichever case is. Amen. Somebody will tell you, you have need of patience. Amen. And I'm sure that's right, and we know it to be true. But when I think about that, patience is something that is needed. It's something that's really, we don't ask for it. One thing we've been instructed not to ask for it a lot of times, because the Bible does say tribulation worketh patience. And somebody said it, and I'm sure it's right, that if you're asking for patience, you're probably asking for trouble. Because that's how you get patience. It's developed, and it is developed through troubles. Amen. But when I think about some things that commend our subject, some things that, if I can say, recommend this grace of patience to the saint, I've got 8 things listed. I don't know how many of them I'll deal with tonight. But let me start off, first of all, and really this is the only one we need, patience is commanded in the Scriptures. It's commanded in the Scriptures. It's commanded, first of all, by our Lord in Luke chapter number 21. If you'd like to turn back there, Luke chapter 21. And we're going to look at several different verses and use our Bible this evening and look at what the Bible says about our need of patience. Our Lord commanded it to His saints in Luke chapter number 21 and verse number 19. Now, if you know the context of Scripture, he's talking about the destruction of the temple, Jerusalem, and I believe he's dealing with the early days of Christianity, how they're going to haul them before the magistrates, and they're going to question them. And he talked about not thinking beforehand what to say, that God will give you what to say. And by the way, those days have happened, and in some places are happening now, and may yet happen again before Jesus comes, that they're hauling Christians before the magistrates to give an answer as to why they believe and behave like they do. Amen. But he says this in verse number 19. In patience possess ye your souls. You know what he's saying? Our Lord's commanding these saints here in Luke 21:19. He's commanding them, you have patience and hang on to yourself. Control yourself. Amen. Because if we're not careful, we'll want to lash out when others lash out at us. When others speak evil against us, we'll want to rail back upon them. But our Lord commanded for His disciples, and hear the phrase, in patience possess ye your soul. So it's commanded first by the Lord, then it's commanded by His apostles in 1 Thessalonians. If you'd like to turn back over there, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 14. I've got these verses typed out in my notes and I can rattle them off to you, but I believe it'd do you good to look at least some of them, and I may just read some of them to you for sake of time. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14, the Apostle Paul writing to the saints at Thessalonia, and he says this, or Thessalonica, he says this in chapter 5 verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, so he's talking to the saints, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Amen. Be patient toward all men. That's a command. Now, when he's closing out this first epistle to the Thessalonians, and he is giving them some final instructions, and in this he lumps in a lot of things, but he talks here about how that we're, he said, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. So just as important as it is for us to try to help the feeble-minded, to try to comfort those that are weak and meet the needs of those that are in trouble, he's saying, you're going to have some patience. Can I tell you that it's true that if we're going to help anybody, if we're going to help anybody, we're going to have to learn some patience. Amen. Most of us, matter of fact, when we came along and we were being helped by the saints, aren't we glad they were patient with us? Amen. Amen. They needed it, and we needed it. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we'll just turn over a few more pages. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11. Of course, he's talking to the preacher, but he says, 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. And it's the things before that, the love of money and all that, the riches and those things that are before. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. So if you wanted to underline some words, but thou, follow after patience. You can lift those words from that sentence, and it is not only commanded by the Lord Himself, but commanded by His apostles. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 24. The Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Amen. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy. He's a young preacher. Paul is giving Timothy some instruction. It's not just Paul's ideas. It's the inspired Word of God. The Holy Spirit moved on Paul just like you'd move on a pen and told him what words to say. And in doing that, he said to him, he said, you tell that young preacher that as a preacher, he's going to need to follow after patience, and he's going to need to have patience in trying to deal with people and help people. Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter number 12. We're still just turning in. I've got these in order, so you turn through the Bible as we look at these. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. You know this verse, I'm sure, very well. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run, how are we going to run this thing? With patience, the race that is set before us. Amen. Now, I know Brother Ben's ran in some marathons. When you're running in a marathon, you gotta, what's the word I'm looking for? Pace yourself. Now, I'm saying that not from personal experience. Well, I'm just saying that from observation, what I've read and what I've heard. It just makes sense that you gotta pace yourself. Here's what our Lord's saying in this. We're in a race, and it may be a long one. It may be a while before we cross the finish line. And so he's saying, you're going to have to keep putting one foot in front of the other foot. You're going to have some patience in your life. You can't get stumbled up. You can't get tripped up. You can't turn around every few minutes. You got to keep pressing on. That's the idea there. And persistence and the perseverance is included, I believe, in this thought of having the patience that he wants us to have as children of God. Now turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter 1. James has the distinction of being the book of the New Testament that says the most about patience of any book in the New Testament for its size. There's only 5 chapters. In my notes at home, I've got how many verses there are. I forgot. I did know how many verses are in there. It's 100 and some, maybe 105 or 108, something there. James mentions the word patience, patient or patience, I think about 7 or 8 times. It's mentioned, the only other book in the New Testament that exceeds it is the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation mentions it as well. Those times, but there's 404 verses in the book of Revelation. So comparative to the verses and the things that James says more about patience, it gives us more teaching. Hebrews is next. I thought it's interesting, by the way, that Hebrews, you know, 13 chapters, I forgot how many, but I believe 400 some verses in the book of Hebrews. But in those books, all of those books, the book of James is written to the Jews that are scattered abroad. The book of Hebrews written to the Jews that are scattered abroad, and the book of Revelation is written to the churches, but we're going to be out of here and the Jews are going to be left. Amen. And of course, all those that have not believed and accepted Christ will be left. Those that missed the rapture will be left. But that word, these words are written to God's people. Amen. And so he's telling them, you better have some patience in this thing and wait on God. God's promises all come true. That's the idea that I've got. Now, James chapter 1 verse 4. He says this, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. By the way, we say the word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It's talking about being mature. Well, you can see it in that verse. It explains it. Perfect means being entire, being complete. Amen. Being full grown. That's the idea that is there. So he's saying, let patience have its full grown work. Let it work. Let it produce what it's supposed to, that you can be a full-grown Christian. Amen. They used to say something about young people having a well-rounded education. Amen. They said that to me until I became well-rounded. Amen. But the idea of having a well-rounded education is that it's not just focused on one thing. You need to learn to read, but you also need to learn to add. Amen. And you can go on a lot of things that it's saying that we need to learn. So I believe James is saying, if we're going to have a full, a good rounded up education in God, we need to let patience have its perfect work. That's what he says there. Look back at verse number 3. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And I'll say more about that sometime later. But the command then, he said, you know, troubles come and troubles cause patience to come along. You'd never learn patience if God didn't allow troubles. Amen. You'd never learn it. Just like in the military, they put those men through rigorous training. They put them through rigorous things. They make them do things that they may never have to do, but it's so that if they ever do have to do it, they can. Amen. That they've got the ability. They've got that behind them. Amen. And or if they run upon something very similar. Listen, God is good that in this boot camp of life, that in our training session of life, God allows trouble. And it's not that He don't love us. It's that He does love us. It's that He cares enough about us that He wants us to grow and have a well-rounded education that we can let patience have its maturing work, that we can be a mature Christian that'll bring Him glory and honor. Amen. That was James 1:4. Turn to James 5, verses 7 and 8. Again, James has that distinction I mentioned about having more to say about patience. He begins with it. His second sentence is talking about patience. He ends with it. His last chapter is talking about patience as well. And so James chapter number 5, verses 7 and 8. James, here's the command. He just simply says, be patient Therefore, brethren, I could stop right there. There's the command of the apostles. Be patient, therefore, brethren, how long we got to be patient? Unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So James said, first off, verse 7, first words, be patient therefore, brethren. The second time in chapter, verse number 8, the first four words, be ye also patient. He's just told us God's patient. The husbandman is patient as he's working with us. We sing the song, he's still working on me. Amen. He's still working on us. Aren't we glad that he's patient? He said, well, we need to be the same thing. It's commanded. 2 Peter chapter number 1 is another instance where the disciples or the apostles command. Again, it's not a recommendation. It's a command for patience. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 and 6. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. So if you wanted to underline the words there in our scripture, giving all diligence, add to your faith, add to temperance, patience. Amen. So there's a command for us not to leave off this grace of patience. It's not, well, I can make it without it, preacher. No, it's a command from Christ, and it's a command from His disciples. Amen. Now, you notice that the apostles, Peter, Paul, James, and whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, all give the command that we are to have and reach for patience. Amen. We're to add to it. Peter talks about that. We're to add those into our thing. So in other words, I believe it's saying they're all combining to instruct that Christians have need of patience in their life. So what commends this to us? Why should we be advised to put patience in our repertoire, if I can say, in our tool bag? Why should we need patience in our tool bag? I'll tell you why. Because Christ commanded it. And because His disciples commanded it. Now if that's all we had, that'd be enough. That'd be enough for us to close out right now and say, let's hit the altar and ask God for patience, because it's commanded that we have it. But can I say number two? Here's another commendation. Patience is one of the most obvious and blessed attributes of God. Amen. Patience is one of the most obvious and blessed attributes of God. Turn to Exodus. We'll go all the way back in the Bible. Exodus chapter number 34. Amen. You remember Moses asked God to let him see His glory. You remember that? God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, that rock of ages that's cleft for me. Amen. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. He said, I'll let my goodness pass by. Amen. And Moses saw all the goodness of God that passed by in a moment. He saw only the backside, the Bible said. Amen. But God passed by, and here's what He proclaimed. This is the text that we're looking at in Exodus 34 and verse number 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, here's what the Lord said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, look at that word, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Amen. That word long suffering is the same idea as the word patient. There's a little bit of a tweak in it. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. It's used primarily talking about God. But when God's talking about Himself and His praise is being magnified before His man of God, Moses, He's saying, this is the goodness of God. If you want to see the goodness of God, you see it in the long suffering of God. Amen. Numbers chapter number 14. Just again, some pages over. Pass by the book of Leviticus, get to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse number 18. proclaiming the goodness of God. Here's what he says. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. That first phrase, the Lord, that's talking about Jehovah God, is long-suffering. One of the most obvious attributes of God is His patience, His long-suffering to us. Psalms chapter 86 and verse number 15. This psalm is a prayer of David. He's bragging on God as David's out to do. Amen. And he says in verse number 15, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Amen. And then probably the most famous, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You don't have to turn. I'll just read that to you. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Amen. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I'll say again, one of the most obvious attributes of God is His patience, His long-suffering. One of the most blessed attributes of God. Aren't you glad He's long-suffering to usward? Amen. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." His blessed attribute is that He is long-suffering and He is patient. If He's that way and we ought to strive to be like Him, then we ought to be commended to have some patience. Amen. Now, I say this as a note and I'll move on to my next point. But I acknowledge that the word patience, quote unquote, is never found in the King James Bible speaking about God. The Bible does not say God is patient. I read this that, and I've heard other men say this. Actually, I think I heard it. I'm not sure that I read it. Heard other men say that the King James translators, by the way, the word, if you look up the Greek word, then it's 31:14 that is translated long-suffering in 2 Peter. He's long-suffering to usward. That is translated in James, patient. It's translated in other places, patient. That word is translated at different times, long-suffering and patient. But it's never translated patient talking to God. It's only translated patient talking to us. And it's translated long-suffering when it's talking to God. And here's what I read, that the King James translators purposefully declined to translate the word patience in relation to God, because patience, one of its meanings is, if I can say it this way, putting up with or enduring things that you can't change. There is nothing God can't change. There's nothing God, but the word long-suffering is enduring it even though you could change it if you wanted to. Amen. I'm glad our God is a long-suffering and a patient God. He's a good God to us. Amen. That's what the Bible said. Long-suffering to usward. Amen. And so as David praised Him in Psalm 86 and said, God is a long-suffering God, plenteous in mercy, we'll have to say the same, you and I will, as New Testament Christians, as David said in the Old Testament. Amen. He's long-suffering. I thank God for that attribute of God. Then let me say number three, or C. I did it ABC in my notes. I said patience is commanded, first by our Lord, then by His disciples or apostles. Secondly, patience is one of the most obvious and blessed attributes of God. But I'll say patience is evident in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He is God. I'm not separating Him from God, but He is God manifest in the flesh. So the King James translators were willing to put the word patient with Him as a man. Isn't that amazing? Turn to Revelation chapter number 1, and this is the only statement about the patience of Jesus Christ in your Bible. Now, it talks about the patience of the saints and different things. It's all through the Revelation. But Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 9, John's on the Isle of Patmos and he's telling us about what he saw, fixing to tell us these great things that he saw. Verse number 1, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. There's the phrase, and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, John's not talking about he's got the patience for Christ, because he's talking about the kingdom of Christ. So he's talking about the patience of Christ. The idea that I've got here is that this word patience is tied to our Lord. John's saying, you see our Lord and you have to see patience. He is patience embodied. He is mercy embodied. He is compassion embodied. Amen. He is grace embodied. Amen. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to know patience, look at Jesus. You'll see patience all through His life. Amen. Let me just read you. You don't have to turn these. I'm going to read you some of these. And this I believe will be a blessing to you. It blessed me when I thought about it. But the verses are not real copious. They're not real plenteous that talk about patience next to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you'll just take just a little view of the Bible, it don't even take a deep study, just a cursory view of the Bible, you'll find and you'll see that our Lord exhibited and exuded patience everywhere He went and in everything He did. You think about the patience that it took to be 100% God and yet be in a body of flesh and submit yourself to human parents. That takes mighty patience. Matter of fact, it takes patience to be a human child and submit to human parents sometimes. Amen. But God will give you patience. Amen. He'll help you to have the patience to do that. But our Lord submitted in Luke chapter number 2 and verses 51 and 52, the Bible said, and He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. You see that? And was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Our Lord Jesus was 100% God, and yet He was patient enough to be subject to Mary and to Joseph. Now, Joseph wasn't his real dad, but I don't think Jesus ever one time made that proclamation. He didn't bow up against Joseph. Joseph was his authority on earth. Amen. Mary was just a woman, and our Lord revealed that when, at times in the Scripture, when it looked like maybe that she was asking, you know, for, if you go back to John chapter 2, that wedding at Cana, and she told him they're out of wine, He said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come." I don't believe our Lord was being ugly to her. Our Lord was trying to correct what He knew the Catholics was going to do down the road when they're going to try to magnify Mary and put her above Christ and say, "We'll pray to her and we'll get Christ to do what we want Him to do." Christ was saying Mary didn't even have the ability to make Him do what He didn't want to do.
Amen.
Amen. But He was subject to her. He was honoring her all the days of His life. That took some patience, being the fact that He was 100% God. Jesus exhibited patience, and I'll say long-suffering grace, when He was renounced and ridiculed by the Jews. There's a lot of instances that could be recorded, but I just wrote these down in Mark chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. When Jesus saw their faith, you remember they let the man down through the roof? When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" Well, he had half of that right. He wasn't speaking blasphemies, but he was God. Amen. It takes God to forgive sins. Amen. But these men thought evil of our Lord. They ridiculed our Lord in their own minds. Of course, our Lord knew what they were thinking. And it wasn't just that one case. There's multiple cases. You remember the case that I preached on last Sunday? I think it's this past Sunday when I was dealing with Mary at the feet of Jesus. And there in Luke 8, I believe it is, when I believe that's the first time that she came to Him. And she comes behind Him, and that Pharisee, Simon, says, "This woman is a sinner." He said, if he'd have been a prophet, he'd have known she was a sinner. In his mind, he is ridiculing our Savior. And yet our Savior didn't strike him dead. Yet our Savior didn't open up the pit and let him go alive into hell. Oh no, he exhibited patience.
Right, amen.
and long-suffering grace. Amen. Imagine the patience that it took to walk with 12 disciples day by day, trying your best to impart some spiritual wisdom and insight into their mind, and realizing over and over again they just don't get it. Amen. You've felt that way about others, I'm sure, at times. Oh, I've tried to tell them they're just not getting it. Amen. You've been there. Our Lord was there for 3.5 years as He walked with these men day by day, trying to instill some spiritual wisdom, and yet they wasn't catching on. Over and over, they proved it. Matthew chapter number 15, verses 15 and 16. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Amen. So, our Lord said, Peter, are you not catching on? You remember when our Lord's getting ready to go to the cross? I mean, I think they're either in the upper room or they're headed to the upper room. I personally believe, and just in my memory, I think John 14's already in the upper room, isn't it? In John 14, our Lord talked about going away, and He said, I'm going to the Father. And Philip said, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And our Lord said, Philip, have I been with you this long? Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Have I been with you this long, and you've not seen the Father? What our Lord's done is He's walked with them all this time, and He's instructed them, and He's taught them, and He's trained them, and yet they're so dense, if I could just use that word. Let me do it better. They're so human. Because there's people being in church 20 years still just as dense as those disciples was after 3.5 years. And I'm not just saying some of you. I'm saying some of us. Amen. Sometimes I'm sure our Lord must shake His head and say, He ain't catching on, is He? Amen. But it took great patience for Him to wait like that. Took those 12 disciples. Think about all the miracles He performed in their sight. All the marvelous things they saw Him do. From the healing of the blind, to the raising up of the crippled, to the raising of the dead. And yet they didn't trust Him when they got in a storm. They saw Him feed the 5,000. They saw Him do all those miracles that our Lord did. I'm telling you, it took mighty patience to put up with those disciples that still had unbelief in their heart after walking with our Lord for 3.5 years. Amen. Matthew 8:26, and He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Amen. Our Lord said, why is your faith so little? You've been walking with Me. And yet they had so little faith. Then I want you to think about this. I'm just giving you illustrations of the life of our Lord, and think about patience exhibited not one time, but hundreds of times in the pages of the Scripture in the life of our Lord. Think about this, choosing 12 men that you're going to pour your life into, that you're going to walk with, you're going to feed them, you're going to teach them, you're going to train them, and you're going to leave them to propagate the gospel from now on. You've chosen 12 of them, knowing all the time one of them is a deceiver. One of them will betray Him. He knew that. Didn't catch Him by surprise. He didn't just know it was going to be one of the 12. He knew which one. You see them all around and say, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Jesus never said, well, I don't know who it is. Because He did know who it was. John is very clear about that. When you read the Gospel of John, John points out over and over and over that the Lord knew. Matter of fact, in John chapter number 6, verse 64, here's what He said. But our Lord said, but there are some of you that believe not. And here's what John added. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray Him. Jesus knew it from the beginning. You know what He did? He exhibited patience. Amen. Amen. And I believe the ultimate display of patience, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The ultimate display of patience on our Lord's part was Calvary. Amen. His submission to the cross. Hebrews chapter number 12. I read you verse 1. There's the command that we're to run this race with patience. But look at verse number 2. Here's how we do it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That word endured is the same word as patience. It's tied in. Endurance is tied in with patience over and over through the scriptures. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. Our Lord showed great patience in enduring the cross. John chapter 10, verse 11. You don't have to turn. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. Verse number 15 of John 10 says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verses 17 and 18 of John 10 as well, our Lord said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Boy, I love that verse. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Our Lord showed great patience in going to Calvary, though he did not have to. He willingly did, and he endured that cross, despising the shame. Amen. You think about the amount of gracious patience that Christ displayed while people lied on him, while they accused him of all kinds of evil, even spitting in his face. Amen. There's some things you can get a man maybe to turn the other cheek, but you spit in his face, he ain't going to turn the other cheek many times, if he does any. Amen. But they spit in his face. They mocked him. They smote him with their hands. And yet, he patiently endured it. Imagine the mental anguish that he endured, knowing that all that he had ever done for them was good. That he'd never done one bad thing for them. That he'd never harmed them in any way. But it had all been good, and yet they were falsely accusing him, hated him, and rejected him, demanding his crucifixion. Amen. Think about the long-suffering grace that was displayed as they cursed our Lord and stripped him of his raiment in humiliation, by the way. Amen. They stripped him of his raiment in humiliation and nailed him to the tree. Amen. All that was done to a man that was much more than a man. The song says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Amen. He exhibited such mercy, such grace, such patience, such long suffering to you and I. Amen. And then, after you calculate all that amazing display of the grace of God and our Lord, that display of the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ towards his disciples, towards Judas, towards the mob at the crucifixion. After you've thought about that a while, turn your eyes inward and look at your own life. Amen. Think about the grace that he has displayed to me and you. The patience that he's had with me and you. Amen. So many times we find ourselves not learning the lessons he's trying to teach us. So many times we find ourselves forgetting the miracles that he's performed in the past. Amen. Not all of them are recorded in the pages of this book. He's done miracles for me and for you. He's done miracles in my life and in your life. And yet we come upon a little trouble. And we say, oh my, what are we going to do? Amen. Amen. When I talked with Brother Kuhn on Thursday, told him that we had the transmitter in and that things had worked out. And I was sharing with him a little bit about how that it had gone and the problems with the truck drivers and all that went on with that. And I told him it didn't look like it's going to happen. Me and Brother Steve both had about given up hope. Amen. And yet God worked it out. And Brother Kuhn said, ain't that a surprise? Or something along those lines. How surprising that God did it again. Amen. Amen. You think about throughout our life, He's taught us, but we're not learning. He's shown us, but we're not catching on. How many times in our life we've been guilty, possibly, of betraying our Lord for less than 30 pieces of silver? Amen. We've not witnessed when He told us to. We've not prayed when He told us to. We've refused to be faithful to our Bible reading or faithful to church or name whatever you want. We've sold Him out for much less than 30 pieces of silver. And yet, in His patience, and yet in His mercy, He's loved us all along. Amen. Amen. Well, can I say number four or D? I said it's commanded. God has the attribute. It's exhibited in Christ. And then D, we are called to be like our Lord and to display this same patience. Turn to John chapter number 13. John chapter 13. And verse number 15. This is in the upper room. This is 13, so it's obvious 14 was in the upper room I was referring to earlier. This is a scripture, I think, that I know it's the same story that Brother Durham preached out of in our missions conference recently, back in August. It's the story, if I can say it, the story, the account of our Lord washing the disciples' feet. John 13, look at verse 15. For I have given you an example. You might ought to underline that. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now, I think he was talking more than just about washing feet. I think he's talking about this display of patience. Oh, my. When I think about our Lord going into that upper room, I talked about he has given His life to these men for 3.5 years. He's tried to instruct them and instill a little bit of spiritual wisdom in them. When He walks in that upper room, you know what they're doing? They're arguing like good Baptists. They're arguing. You know what they're arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? I thought to myself, if I was the Lord, I think I'd have slammed the door and went another way. Said, you fellows are worthless, hopeless. I'm glad He didn't. Amen. And I remember some years ago, I was at Faith Baptist Camp. I don't remember who was preaching, and they told that story right there that I just told you. And God ministered to my heart with those words. Because at that time, I was thinking about a couple in our church there in North Carolina that I had invested a couple of years in. I mean, preaching to them, trying to help them every way I could. I'd gone out of my way. My wife and I, we had given them money. We'd given them food. We'd done everything we could do to help them. And now they're acting so childish. And I wanted just to give up on them. And my Lord reminded me, listen, I felt like a failure. But the Lord Himself couldn't help 12 men. After 3.5 years of pouring Himself in it, they were still big babies. Wives, take heart. Amen. Men may be babies their whole life. Amen. No, but here's the truth. Sometimes we are childish. Men and women, by the way. Sometimes we are childish. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Sometimes our pride is injured. Now, it wouldn't be injured if you didn't have pride. Right? So it tells us there's some work we need to do. But sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Sometimes we go through these things and we get offended. I guess that's the best word for it. We just get offended at what somebody said, somebody did, or what somebody didn't say or they didn't do. Whatever the case is. We allow something to come along and we allow it to hurt us. Our Lord said, I've given you an example. You know what He did? He loved those men anyway. He loved them right to the end. Amen. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. They don't understand any of that. They've forgotten Calvary. They're trying to jump ahead to the kingdom and they're trying to put it in human terms and see who's greatest in the kingdom. And yet our Lord showed them who's greatest in the kingdom. And that is the servant, the man that'll get down on his hands and knees and try to help somebody else. Amen. That's the picture of our Lord. And He said this to us, these disciples, and I believe He's talking to us, I've given you an example. Now you go and do likewise. Amen. One more, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll try to close with this one. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm still on this thing, we're called by the Lord to be like Him. 1 Peter 2. I thought of something while I was turning here that Daniel's working on making pens. Daniel's a pen maker extraordinaire. And he's made some. He's working with his grandpa. His grandpa's helping him. You know what his grandpa did? I wasn't there, but I got his grandpa showed him how to do it. He told him, this is how you do it while you're doing this. And I'm sure he gave him some instructions. Some things you can't learn by just reading it. Sometimes you got to see it done. Right? Amen. There's people in this world, by the way, who are never going to understand Christianity unless they see some of it. They can read about it all they want to read about it. They'll never get a glimpse of it until they see some of it. But I'm sure Daniel's grandpa, you call him Papaw? Papaw, all right. Daniel's Papaw then has told him and he showed him. And then the other day he said, now I want you to do it. I want you to do it on your own. That's exactly what our Lord did with us in something much more important than making a pen. He's talking about putting some patience. He said, I've showed you. I've told you and I've showed you. Now I want you to do it yourself. Amen. Now we're in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. And well, let me back up to verse 20. I think this would help us. I could keep backing up. But for what glory is it if ye be being buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now here's my phrase. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Look at that next phrase. Leaving us an example that we should, or that ye should follow His steps. What are we called to? We're called to suffering. I believe that. As a Christian, we're not called to just enjoy life. We're called to suffering. And we're called to suffer wrong. In other words, when our Lord suffered, He was right, they were wrong, and yet they accused Him of being wrong. That's how the truth is to this day. Amen. When you say, and we're living in these strange days when grown men and grown women don't know which bathroom to go in. I appreciate what Brother Williams said Wednesday night. Boy, that was so right. I appreciate what he said there about protecting his family. Amen. So right. But how foolish can you get to say that we can't understand? Right. You look at the sign, if it's got a skirt on it, that's supposed to be a woman. Yeah. Amen. Right. Men ain't supposed to wear skirts. Amen. Amen. If it's got pants on it, that's supposed to be a man. Right. It's that obvious. It's that simple. Amen. Now, but we're in a day when they say, oh, that's hate speech. Oh, that is profiling. Oh, that is so old-timey. That is so wrong. No, it's not wrong. It's right. Amen. It is right, but it's evil spoken of. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to get mad and say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just bust your brains out. No, we're to patiently try to direct them in the way that's right. Amen. In other words, we're to live our life suffer whatever wrong that comes against us, knowing that God's keeping a record and God's in charge of all this. Amen. And nothing can happen to us without He allows it to happen to us. Amen. We say we believe that, but in reality, sometimes we have a hard time really getting a handle of it. Amen. All right. Well, in the scriptures that I read to you, the Apostle Peter is telling us that we need to observe the patient suffering of Christ. He opened not His mouth. When they railed on Him, He didn't rail back. Boy, we could learn a lesson right there. Amen. That'd keep down a lot of fussing in the home or in the church or on the job. Amen. If when we're railed on, we just made up our mind, by the good grace of God, I'm not going to rail back. Amen. But our Lord patiently suffered, and He said we're to follow in His steps. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I've got more, but I'm out of energy. I believe this is the right place to quit. You're finished. What I'm preaching tonight, what I have preached, is not shouting, and it's not rocket science. It was definitely needed. It's truth. If I could say this, it's truth in shoe leather that we need to put the shoes on and wear them a while. Amen. Take a few steps in them. Ask God for help. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your goodness, grace, and mercy, and long-suffering kindness to us. Lord, I am so thankful that when I have messed up, You haven't gotten impatient with me and just flipped me off. Lord, I want to thank You that in Your mercy, You've loved me and You've shown me and You've helped me and You've instructed me again and again and again. Lord, help me not to get weary, but to be patient towards all men. Help me as a pastor, personally, to have that attitude. Help me as a husband to have that attitude. Help me as a parent and a grandparent to have that attitude. That I'll stand for what's right, but I'll not be ugly or mean or upset about it. I'll just stand for what's right because it's right. No matter what anybody else says or does. Lord, I pray You get the glory. Help us now in this invitation time according to Thy will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing, and while we sing, if you need to come to the altar, of course the altar's open. You can call on the Lord. Whatever He says, do. While we sing, 56. Page 56. If you need to come, obey the Lord. Do what He says, do.